And I agree.
Lord, I agree.
Oh, Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pulse. 596 in your hymn book. At night I lay in bed and I begin to cry. And my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain. This evening. Amen. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. God bless you. If I try this evening, you help me out. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God. Back in church this evening. Sure enjoyed the word of the Lord this morning. Looking forward to what he has for us this evening. If you're visiting with us this evening, we'd like to make you welcome and I pray that God speaks to your heart. God bless you. As we go to prayer, Sister Crystal writes, Grandpa Barry Edlund passed out in a restaurant today. Uh, Sister Crystal's grandpa passed out, Barry Edlin passed out in a restaurant today. They took him to the hospital by ambulance. His blood pressure was 60 over 35 with chest pains. He lives in Augusta, Georgia. I know he's in the hospital now. They're trying to figure out what's going on, but hey, man, we believe that he's going to come through this just fine by the grace of the Lord. And then Sister Tina Bryant is not feeling well this evening. I want to remember her in prayer. Brother Jeffrey from Africa is at the hospital with his wife, and she is getting ready to deliver their baby. Please remember her and the baby in prayer for everything to go well. Amen. So you have an unspoken prayer request, just make that known to the Lord by an uplifted hand. It's good to have Brother Nathan and his family back with us, and God bless you. I'll have him come pray over these prayer requests.
Amen. Good to be back home. We've only been back in town a couple hours, so a little tired from the trip and things, but had good services there in Liberty and wonderful time of fellowship. So just want to praise the Lord for that. And Brother Gary Simmons, somebody rear-ended him pretty good out here just a few moments ago, and Brother Steve Ricketts was in the vehicle with him and seemed a little disoriented to things, so they're having an ambulance come and get him. So let's just remember him and that entire situation in prayer tonight. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you want to lift and make known to the Lord? Hold it on your heart tonight as we pray. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, you see about each need, the spoken ones, the unspoken ones. Lord, you know all about it. Lord, Father, for Sister Crystal's grandfather, Lord, you know about the situation there. I pray that you just move on the scene. Lord, for Brother Jimmy Burchett that they did surgery on today and his wife laying there, Lord, from a car wreck and multiple injuries throughout their bodies. Father, I pray that you just move on the scene, grant healing and mercy. We know that you're the great physician, Father. Lord, we just pray for you to be in these situations. Be with Brother Steve, Father, being injured in this car wreck and just the enemy trying to upset as they're trying to come to church. And I pray that you touch him and heal him. May a testimony come forth from it. Lord, may victory come from it, Lord. Father, we commit the entire situation into your hands. Anyone else that was involved in the wreck, Father, Brother Gary and the person in the other car, Lord, may everything be okay with them as well. Lord, I pray that you just be in this service. We recognize that you're here because you promised you would be, but Lord, we want to make you welcome, Father, and we want to recognize your presence in our midst, Lord. We just commit the entire service, every song, every word that's spoken, Father, we give it to you tonight. Lord, we believe together as a group of believers, Father, that you have something in store for us tonight. We come with expectations that you'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could think or hope or imagine. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. I'm going to keep you standing for this song. I think we'll turn it back over to him soon, but I think you got to stand to sing this song.
There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him.
clap of praise. He's worthy. It might be a simple little chorus, but there's so much meaning in that. Amen. Amen. But he found me, and now there's no one like Jesus. Amen.
Every promise in the book is mine. Oh, every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, I am trusting in His love divine. Oh, every promise in the book.
Why don't you turn and greet one another this evening?
Oh, every promise.
Zion Emond, Brother Azariah Emond, and Sister Gloriana Emond. Let's sing that again as they come.
Every promise in the book.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You glad there's no God like Jehovah? Amen. There's been many showdowns where they tried to prove otherwise, but he always shows up and proves that there's no God like Jehovah. Amen. Well, we listened to what you heard this morning on the way on the trip there and back, and certainly enjoyed what we've heard so far, and looking forward to hearing the rest of the Pergamene Church Age. And you noticed many of the things I'm sure that he was talking about there. It went right along with some of the things we've been looking at on the nine spiritual gifts and things. And the sister, she got up there and started to speak in tongues, but there was no interpretation. How the gentle correction that he gave, even though it was out of order, I thought he handled it so well. And how it was a scriptural trained church. Somebody else didn't just jump up and try to go into the interpretation there, even though he said he believed it was of God, that God was really moving on the sister, but that it wasn't just the time to be in order. So I thank God for the truth and for a scriptural trained church that can understand those things. And he talked about saying good things and not letting bitterness get in. He talked about how it's got to be in the scripture and it's got to be through the scripture if we're going to believe something, not just one little spot that we major on, make a doctrine out of, one little half of a sentence or something like that, but it's got to be in the scripture and through the scripture. He told us that you are deity speaking if it's God that's speaking through you. Amen. Not some mental workup, but you are deity speaking. And then he mentioned Al Smith on the morning service. He said what had been the deeds in the days of Al Smith was now the deeds, or vice versa. There, I'm sorry. What was the deeds in the days of Al Smith was now doctrine. And Al Smith, it was a man by the name of Alfred Emanuel Smith. He was the governor of New York for four terms, and he ran in 1928 under the Democratic ticket for president. He was the first Catholic that had been nominated to run as president by a major party, and he wasn't voted in at that time, but he was a strong opponent of prohibition and different things, and so it had tried to slip in back there in the 20s, but he said what had been the deeds back there had become a doctrine now. He mentioned about the Apostles' Creed, how there was no such thing as the Apostles' Creed in the Bible, not like they say it, at least. As I mentioned a while back, we had been at a funeral for an extended family member at a Lutheran church, and even though it was a Lutheran church, they get up and they say, well, we believe in the Roman Catholic Church and in the communion of saints and all these different things that are absolutely Catholicism, but yet they say that not even thinking of it being a Lutheran church. Methodists do the same. My mom grew up repeating the Apostles' Creed and didn't think anything about it till she came into the message, but the Methodist church would get up and say they believe in the Holy Roman Catholic Church and the communion of saints and things like that. Brother Branham taught us anything that communes with the dead is spiritualism. No matter what name it's done under or how it's handled, anything that communes with the dead is spiritualism. So I thank God for light and for truth. And, we're blessed. I was speaking there in Liberty on the lines of some things that we've been looking at over the last few weeks of how that light has shone in darkness. And I'm so thankful that we have light that we can walk in. And not only, it's not just a doctrinal light, although I appreciate that, but it's a light that becomes a life to us to teach us how to live. And it's a life that comes and lives through us. It's more than just words or traditions or something like that. But it teaches you how to treat your neighbor and how to treat your spouse and how to treat those that you come in contact with. He was talking this morning on the tape about how Jesus even prayed for his enemies. Didn't just pray for those that treated him nice, but even prayed for his enemies. So we want to have that same type of attitude towards others. But we'll pick up where we left off this morning and finish this. Let's just stand together before we do. And I've been enjoying the church age study as Brother Trevor's been taking us through that. And just as he finishes up one of those, we're trying to play the church age tape that goes along with that. And we begin to get a fuller picture, I believe, when we look into these things and study them and take them a portion at a time. And we're a little bit behind as well, as I know some of you all are on the actual doing the reading of the church age book, but we are trying to go through it and do each of those lessons. It's been a blessing to us and to the children, and I love how it's encouraging us to read the church age book. I know there's been many that have said, I never read the church age book until this. So anything that encourages somebody to read the message, I think it's a good thing. Amen. So let's sing this together. Only believe. Maybe you have a need tonight. Maybe it doesn't look like the situation's very good, but all things are possible if you can believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Just only let's sing it this way tonight. Oh, I know Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And all things are possible when Jesus is here. God bless you, and you can be seated this evening. Brother Furman, Lord willing, will have it up on the screens here for us in a moment, but if you're following along with your phone or your iPad or something like that, I think it begins tonight at paragraph 154, but God bless you as we listen together.
Now, the word Pergamos means married. The very word Pergamos means married. Christianity, that is the Nicolaitan side, the formal side, married to the state with pagan ceremonies. Pagan ceremonies, and it was the birth of the Catholic Church in that day. Now, anyone knows that the Catholic Church was brought into existence at the Nicene Council. Before there, it was called a Nicolaitan by God, which means Nicol to conquer, overcome, or overthrow the laity. And when they did that, they didn't want the Spirit amongst the people and pastors, which means shepherds, to let the Holy Spirit, you say, well, can't the priest be a shepherd? What kind of a food's he feeding you? Do you get the same results they had the day of Pentecost? Certainly not. Hail Mary. Who ever seen that at Pentecost? Novenas. All this sprinkling, pouring, using a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Where do you ever get that at Pentecost? Jesus said, let the house of Israel know surely God's made the same Jesus who you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
That's right. Where do we get those things? It's a Nicolaitan to begin with and formed up into Catholicism. Now, you say, well, I'm sure glad that I'm not amongst them. Now, just don't be too sure. Now, remember, Christianity, Nicolaitan. Now, you get the story, listen close before we go any farther. I want you to get it if we stay here till midnight.
Amen.
Because, brother, it's your soul.
Amen.
You say, well, I belong to... That ain't it. If you haven't got the Holy Ghost, brother, I don't care how many churches you belong to, you're lost. If you are not born again of the Spirit of God by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're lost. Because you haven't got eternal life. And eternal life is the only thing that God will raise up. Because it's the only life that's left. If a grain of corn, as I've quoted here at the Agriculture Hour, how many remembers old Brother Spurgeon, the Methodist preacher up in Henryville? A wonderful old character. We were sitting at the ice cream fountain at Red Furnishes one day, eating ice cream. And we were talking about a meeting that I had up there. And the Agriculture Hour was on, and Red had the little speaker turned on. and of his radio sitting out there, and somewhere they were speaking. Of course, the message was coming from Louisville, but the 4-H Club had got a machine that could turn out a grain of corn, that they could put the calcium and petroleums and everything into the corn and make it look just exactly like it was made from the 4-H had it. Science had perfected it, that the corn looked so real that you could take a handful out of the sack, grow it in the field, handful out of the sack, machine it turned out, and this over here at the machine turned would make the same kind of corn flakes, corn bread, and actually you could take them down to the laboratory and cut them apart, the grains, and you couldn't tell one from the other. Had the same amount of petroleum, same amount of calcium and moisture, everything that went in one grain, it was in the other. He said the only definite way to know that which was grown in the field and which was made by the machine, bury both handfuls. And they both rotted, and the one that was made by the machine would not come up again.
Amen.
But the one that God had grown lived again.
Amen.
Why? Because it was not germatized.
Amen.
And you might look like a Christian, act like a Christian, and do every good deed that you could do and live faithful to your church, but unless you are germatized with the Holy Spirit,
amen,
the life of God, eternal life coming in you, not by confession, but by a gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
How do you get it? The doctor said on the day of Pentecost that wrote the prescription, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The gift of the Holy Ghost, which is eternal life. That's the only thing that God will raise up. If someone thinks he's got life, he can raise up.
Amen.
That's the only thing that can go.
I
hope that's clear.
Amen.
God grant that it's clear. Now, the Nicolaitans then had the formal sign. And they married to the pagan church, bringing in pagan altars, making Christian altars. Brought in a pagan god and made him speak and talk in the form of a bishop. Set up there, robed it up and make it look like a god. See? It's not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside.
Yeah.
Them two grains of corn looked the same. It wasn't what was on the outside, it's what was on the inside. The inside, the life. Well, it was made there, and that was the birthplace of early Catholic churches, the mother of all church denominations. Now, you say, well, Brother Branham, then as long as I ain't Catholic, not just one minute. Let's stop here just a second, by the way. And let's us turn now to Revelation 17th chapter, just a minute. Just turn right straight to it. Now, this is a revelation of what? Jesus Christ to His churches. As I read, listen close. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come here, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that's set upon many waters. Now, so that I can have a witness, how many knows that a woman in the Bible every time that's given in a symbol means the church?
Amen.
All right. How many knows that the great whore, right here in the same chapter, is the city that's set on seven hills?
Amen.
All right. And now how many knows that the Bible said the waters, here she set up on many waters. Not a water, but waters. And waters means the people.
Amen.
Well, get the 15th chapter, you can see there, 15th verse, see? And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore setteth are people, multitudes, nations, and tongues. See?
Yeah.
See? Now, this woman was an apostate, wasn't she? Now, this is teaching, so you must put your conscience behind you now. See? What is that foul woman called whore? Is a woman that's untrue to her marriage vow. Now, the church, the Catholic Church, claims to be the bride and the wife of Christ. Even the nuns cut off their hair and have no affections. They're all affections to Christ. Is that right?
Amen.
Sure. If anybody, I come from a Catholic background, see. I got their facts of our faith and their books and your Protestants and the Baptists and whatever you believe. They're in my study, so I study it. So if anybody says anything, whoop, I can back you right up to your own thing. See? So the hour's come for this to go out. Now, first thing, God had to move across the nation, showing signs, wonders, and miracles that the people would know. God's sheep knows his voice.
Amen.
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 You know exactly. You have to find first. You go out without being known, and you just, what do? You do more harm than ever. Let God take care of that. See? I'll show thee the judgment of the great whore. Now, if she was that, then she was a woman professing to be something that she was committing adultery. Is that right? Well, then if it was a church, she was committing adultery against God. Is that right?
Amen.
Then adultery would be fornication, spiritual fornications. She's teaching something to the people that's not God's Word.
Amen.
Is that right?
Right.
She's teaching something that isn't true.
Amen.
That's the Nicolaitans.
Amen.
See it coming here? Going about putting popes and priests and taking the Holy Spirit out. Days of miracles is past. The Bible said Jesus Christ same yesterday and forever. The Bible said, repent, be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. He says, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, sprinkle, pour out. Oh, my. See? Watch what this woman was doing. Whom the kings of the earth have committed fornications, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornications. Drunk. Kill you, put you to death, shoot you, or anything else, brother. They're absolutely drunk on that stuff. See? The wine, that's what she's giving out. See? Her wine of her fornications. Let me tell you something. My mother was Catholic. Now you said that's horrible. Now just wait a minute, Protestant. I'm talking to these on the tapes. See? So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting up on a scarlet-colored beast. Now, what does the word scarlet detect? It detects royalty. It means raw, loyal, royal. See, like kings and so forth. Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now the seven heads are the seven mountains on which the city sits, and this woman is the city queen. And the woman was arrayed in purple. The woman. The beast was scarlet. But the woman was arrayed in purple. Now have I not warned you the other day? There's three curtains. I don't know how long I'll live. But remember this. As I told you many years ago, what's Russia? There's three curtains. Remember this. There is the iron curtain. There is the bamboo curtain. Red China and so on. And there's the purple curtain.
Amen.
You watch that curtain.
Amen.
That's the deceiver.
Amen.
So much. The woman was arrayed in purple, scarlet colors. Decked with gold, precious stones, and pearls. Remember me speaking back here what the first altar was of the Nicolaitans? See? Woman being the church. Having a golden cup in her hand. Remember the gold overlaid the altar? Cup she was giving the people? Full of the abomination of the filthiness of her fornication. That's what she's giving the people. They were swallowing it. Sure. Drunk on it. Just drunk. All that bunch of Irish and French and so forth. Cut your throat if you say one thing against that church.
Pretty good.
And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon. Now, where did Babylon move from? From Babylon up into Pergamos and become Satan shifting his seat. Oh, I wish we could go through all Revelation.
Amen.
So you could see it. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, a mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. What was she? A mother of harlots. That wasn't sons, was it? Her church. Yes, sir. Said, isn't the church called in the Bible Babylon? See? In their own book. All right. Now, if she was a prostitute, a whore, and she was a mother of harlots, she had to have daughters. And if they were daughters, they were girls, they were churches.
Amen.
Now, where did the Protestant church come from?
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
What's the difference between a whore and a harlot? The same thing. Martin Luther came out to switch out, to give the true church a chance. Wesley, on into Pentecost, and every one of them went right back to that Nicolaitan idea.
Amen.
Of organizing with general overseers and everything else, and went right back with the same baptism that they were baptized with, same form, same ceremonies, even met in with catechisms and Hail Mary, not Hail Marys, but what's this? It's about the same thing, that Apostles' Creed. Show me the Apostles' Creed in the Bible, brother. If they had a creed, it's Acts 2:38.
Amen.
That's what they commanded everybody to do.
Amen.
Where'd you ever hear an apostle make a creed saying, I believe in the Holy Roman Catholic Church? I believe in the communion of saints. When Peter, the one that had the key, said there's no other mediator between God and man but Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But look at the Protestant churches. What did they do? They couldn't be satisfied. Each one of them had come out with a Pentecostal blessing. That's exactly right. Even Martin Luther spoke in tongues. That's exactly right. Excused himself saying, God, these horrible words that I'm muttering, I don't know what I'm saying. Sure. He believed in it. Certainly he did. Now, down through the age, they've had the Spirit, but they always pull away and make organizations that them first founders are gone. If you'd let the Lutheran church go on and not organize it, it'd been Pentecostal. What is the Pentecostal church? I mean the real Pentecostal, not the denomination now. It's just as pot and kettle again, see? But they've done the same thing. And I put them right back at the Nicolaitans just like they did at the beginning. How many sees that say amen?
Amen. Amen.
I just sort of have your word that you're... See, a mother of prostitutes. If they're prostitutes, how did they become prostitutes? By committing fornications against the Word of God. If the Word of God said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and every person in there was baptized in Jesus' name, and then you take Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that's prostitution.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
And if the Bible of baptizing is by immersing, baptizo, from the Greek word, then how do you get sprinkling and pouring? Where does that come in at? If you substitute shaking hands or taking a wafer on your lip and swallowing it or something really like that for the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost came from heaven like a rushing mighty wind and filled the people and made them speak in tongues and shout and act like a drunk person, and you substitute shaking hands or put your letter in the church or something like that, how are you ever going to get out of the way of committing spiritual fornications?
Amen.
I just ask yourself that. Shake your minds down. Open up your heart and be honest, brother. We're at the end of the road.
Amen.
These meetings are just not set here in vain. They were ordered of God.
Amen.
I believe it as sure as I you believe me to be His servant.
Yes,
I said in the name of Jesus that
Amen.
God placed upon my heart to come here. I don't get one penny for doing it. I could be out here praying for the sick somewhere or something like that. Or I could be out under... going fishing and drawing my money just the same. I get a salary from the church. But God placed it up on my heart. I couldn't get away from it. Just kept crying to me at it. And I'm doing all I can. I'm here in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Doing everything I know how to do.
Yes.
Don't let it pass you.
Amen.
Now, Protestant, do you see what I mean by the Catholic and Protestant church? Just one is just the same as the other.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Now, means wedded. Pergamus means wedded. Now, let's take, he said, thou hast them among you that has the doctrine of Balaam. Let's just take that. Have we got time? I'll hurry just quick as I can. Or would you rather just wait and see if we come back in the morning? How many just worry to go ahead just a little while longer? I know it's hot in here and... If you're sitting still and hot, what do you think up here, you see? But, oh my, we're trying to get away from that place that is hot.
Amen.
That's what it is for eternal. Now, of course, when they set up a church like that, what happened? Now, listen closely, my children. What happened? Why, of course that took the Holy Ghost right out of the church. No wonder none of their bishops raised the dead or done the miracles. And them talking about some of these saints being in their church, they protested the thing. But they claim them. Look at Joan of Arc, that young girl. I ask you Catholic people, are you Protestants, any of you? Joan of Arc in her day, there wasn't nothing in France there but the Catholic Church that smothered the saints down. But God moved upon that girl and she had the Holy Ghost. And what did she do? She could foretell things. The Lord would give her visions and foretell it. She prayed for the sick. She prayed for a little dead baby to come back to life again. That's Pentecostal.
Amen.
See? And what did the Catholic Church do to her because she protested the Catholic Church? They called her a trial and burned her to the stake as a witch.
Amen.
And now you say Saint Joan of Arc. 200 years later, about when the church found out what they had done, and she was a saint, oh, of course, they'd done repentance for it. They dug up those priests' bodies who sanctioned her death and throwed them in the river. You think that'll ever wash the blood off its hands?
Amen.
The Bible said the blood of every martyr was found in it.
Amen.
That's what the angel of the Lord said. Was found in Babylon. Every murderer or martyr and all the saints of Christ that was ever martyred was found right in here from the Nicolaitan age on through. Every martyr. Think of that. Thank you, Brother Ben. Now, think of that. Now, just a little further now. The Christian church married to Babylon. Fergus means the wedding. Now, the doctrine of Balaam. You have them among you who has the doctrine of Balaam. Oh, I just love these things.
Amen.
Oh, if you just stay a little longer on one.
Amen.
See, but we want to let you see it and then move on to something else because it's just full of golden nuggets. I'm a prospector. I like to go down and dig these nuggets up and shine them up and polish them up like this and look at them.
Amen.
And every one of them will reflect Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every one of them.
Amen.
See? Every one of them reflects Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the Alpha and the Omega. Ever carried a gold in the nugget. That's right. He is every bit of it. That's the reason he's deity made flesh among us. Now, in order to get, I won't take time for this because I see it's 9, and I got another thing I want to get in tonight, if God willing. And I want you to just put this down and you read it tomorrow. You put down Numbers 22 to 25. I want you to read that now, and you can follow behind me. And now, Numbers 22 to 25. We know that Israel was the chosen people of God. Is that right?
Amen.
They were Pentecostal.
Amen.
They had the Spirit among them. You remember last night's message? How that Moses, when he had crossed over the Red Sea, or the Dead Sea, and found behind him in the Red Sea of the blood, representing the blood, all the taskmasters that ever beat him and all the children of Israel, Moses raised his hand and sang in the Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, every one of us can be a Moses. When we look back in the red blood of the Lord Jesus and see every old drunk, every old bottle, every old vulgar woman, every old dirty thing that we ever done in our life, all dead in the blood of the Lord Jesus,
amen,
makes us sing in the Spirit.
Amen.
Cigarettes, tobaccos, and bad habits, and everything else dead in the blood of the Lord Jesus, then we can raise our hands and sing in the Spirit.
Okay?
Look what Miriam done, the prophetess. Now remember, she was a prophetess. She took the tambourine and began to beat the tambourine and dance in the Spirit. And the daughters of Israel followed her down the bank, beating these tambourines and dancing in the Spirit. Real Pentecostal. And then, if you notice, when they come to Moab, now we're getting back, we're on the Scripture now, the doctrine of Balaam. And in Moab was Israel's brother. How many knows where Moab come from? All right, Moab is what I would call the hybrid, because that Moab started from Lot's daughters. Lot had a baby by his own daughter, had the two children, and Moab was one of them, and he formed the nation of Moab, the tribe. And actually, Lot was a nephew to Abraham, which actually come back in that same line. We know that. Now, I want you to notice they were not pagans, as some of our plays recently would give you to remember. They were believers. Now, when here come Israel up on their road to the Promised Land, making their way right in the line of duty. And here laid Moab right in the way. They sent messengers to Moab and said, "Let us pass through your land. We are your brother." Now, Moab represented the Nicolaitans. Now, you see just in a minute, Israel represented the true church. And Balaam was one of the bishops. Popes. Watch and see now. Carnal Christianity. Now we'll notice that he was gifted, there's no doubt about it. Many of them are fine speakers, doctors of philosophy, and great man. You can't deny that. But having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Cold back to that original Pentecost. Don't get away from there. When you do, you're lost. Stay with that blessing. That's it. The blesser of the blessing. Now, notice as they journeyed, they come up to this formal hybrid church, and they said, "We are passing through to a revival. We're going over to the Promised Land. Will you permit us to go through? If our cattle lick up any grass, if they drink any water, we'll pay you for it." Then what did the king Balak, he got all excited. And he didn't want such a meeting as that in his church or his land. So what did he do? He sent over to the Pope or to the bishop, Balaam, a hireling prophet, one that loved money more than he loved God. And the king Balak told him, "If you'll come out here and curse this people, I'll make you a great person." And God spoke to Balak. I wonder if it had to be, Balaam. Wonder how many Balaams is in this world tonight. Methodist ministers, Baptist ministers, Catholic priests. Mercy. That knows that God, if you read the same history in the same book I do. Balaam. Now, notice. Then he said, "Come down and curse the people." And Balaam said, "I'll ask God." God said, "Don't you go." But the next morning he said, went and told the priest or the king, and he came back and said, "Oh, I'll make you a great man." So Balaam kept on. God said, "Go on then. You go on." Amen. See, if you won't follow truth, you think, Nicolaitans, that because God's doing for you what you're doing like that, there's original truth. You're only taking God's permissive will.
Amen.
You say God gives us the Holy Spirit or blesses us and we're baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You Balaamite.
Amen.
Doctrine of Balaam. God did tell him that you're so arrogant, he just let him go and hang his own self.
Amen.
You got to get back to truth, foundational truth.
Amen.
Back to the Bible.
Amen.
Well, he's blessed us. And oh, I know that. He did tell Balaam, said, "You go ahead. If you want to go, if that's your bound to go that way and you want the organization route, take it. Go on." Then Balaam started, jumped on his mule, or not his mule, his donkey. Down through there he went. And the first thing you know, the angel of the Lord stood in the way. And you know that prophet, that Pope, bishop, cardinal, whatever he was, was so blinded to spiritual things, the thought he was going to get promoted because he lived on the river Euphrates. I guess he thought that was some inheritance, like upon this rock I'll build my church, Peter, or on some rock that was in Rome or something. But when he got to the place, there stood the angel with a drawn sword. And he was so blinded that he couldn't see it.
Amen.
And the mule smashed his foot against the wall. And then he rode him on, and the angel stood in the way again. God will block every door.
Amen.
And this mule still turned around. And he jumped off and took his stick and began to whale him with it. This little donkey laying there getting beat on the head. And I sure what changed him, what let him have the notion, or told him where he was wrong, he let that mule speak in tongues. Not a mule, he was a donkey. Don't say he was a mule, he couldn't have got it. He was a hybrid, see? He was original seed. Moab was signs past. All things are past. Israel had signs following.
Amen.
But this little donkey turned around and said, haven't I been your donkey? Have ever I? And that blinded bishop sitting up on there still beating that mule, and a mule got talking to him in unknown tongues to the mule, and he said, yes, you're my donkey. Have I ever not carried you? Have I ever failed you? No, you haven't. If I had a sword, I'd kill you. I'd stop this meeting. I'm on my road down there to stop that bunch of holy rollers from coming through this land. I'd put it on you. See? And the first thing you know, you happen to look around. You thought, well, this is funny. I can hear that mule talking. Oh, Balaam. See, God's always spoken unknown tongues to people. He did in the days of, you said that's just on Pentecostal. Oh, no. No, no. At Belshazzar's feast, he spoke in tongues.
Amen.
Wrote it out on the wall. They had a man there who had the gift of interpretation, so he interpreted for him, told him what it was. Same things today.
Amen.
So being that there was no interpreter to it, God just let this old Balaam wake up. This cardinal, and realized what it was. And did you know that blind fellow went right on anyhow? Sure, that's the way they do it today. Same thing, the Moabites, Nicolaitans, going right on. And he went right on over there, and he went, now watch, if God had to regard fundamentalism, he was duty-bound to bless Moab. Because notice, Balaam built seven altars. That's exactly the number seven. Seven church ages. See how the spiritual application? Now hold that now. Spiritual application. I'm going to get to it in a minute in a hard place. See? The spiritual application. Seven altars, seven bullocks, clean animals, and seven rams. Speaking of the coming of Christ. Hundreds of years before he came. But they believed. What did they believe? They believed in Jehovah God. What else did they believe? They believed that a clean sacrifice was to be offered. That's right. And they claimed that they believed that the Messiah was coming because he offered a male sheep, which was a ram. Is that right?
Amen.
Now you just tie for the Baptist one time. Find out if they don't do the same thing. That's exactly right. Well, now, what's the difference? Here's Israel down at the bottom of the hill offering the same offerings that they offered up here, praying to the same God. Can't you see the Nicolaitans?
Amen.
The hybrid?
Amen.
See it? Don't you see the true spiritual? What was the difference of them? One of them had signs following.
Amen.
The other one had the farm. The other one had signs following. That's the same thing that's taken place here, the Nicene Council. Nicolaitans, form of Christianity, and the Holy Spirit comes back and said, you've got the doctrine of Balaam among you.
Amen.
See? And I hate them deeds of the Nicolaitans, them doctrines that they got, because it's a doctrine of Balaam, who taught the children of Israel to stumble. How did he do it? Then when he went out to curse that people, God said, I'll tie up your tongue. You can't stand up by what I tell you. You can't curse what I've blessed. So he looked down there and look at this hypocrite. Oh, we just run on out with it, see? Look at this old King Balaam, the head of all of it. Told this here false prophet. Said, go down there and just look at the back part of him. That's the way the big churches like to say to God's little minority. Amen. You know what? I know one of them, boy. You know what he done? He did this and he did that. That was Pentecostals. Sure. Oh, but if you just know the truth about them. But papers and things will keep that quiet. But let a little Pentecostal get out of the rise sometime and watch how the whole country blares it out. Amen. Sure. Yes, sir. But now notice, he said, just look at the back part, the worst part of it. Balaam said, yeah, I just look at the back part, that bad part, what they do. That's what I'll do. I just look at their honoriness, their no good, because if he's looking at the no good, they wasn't. That's right. They'd done every sin on the calendar. But what he failed to see that smitten rock.
Amen.
That brass serpent.
Amen.
The joy of the king among them.
Amen.
Healing signs, wonder. That pillar of fire hanging over them.
Amen.
That blinded prophet couldn't see it. No, sir. But he's showing the dirty part of him. Well, I know one run with another man's wife. I know this. He stole some money. That's right. That's right. I'll admit that. They got the same thing over there, but they didn't say anything about it. See? So just showing the worst part. But he said, God said, you just say what I say. And Balaam got into the spirit, fell into a trance, and instead of cursing Israel, he blessed it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
There he was over it. Now, if God had recompense or respects to fundamental these high schools and great seminaries and college and PhDs and DLDs and all kinds of DDs.
Hallelujah.
Well, what if he had respect to that? Well, then he'd have to have respect to them. See? But he respected and had already blessed these people with a blessing because the Spirit, the King, they said there was a shout of the King in the camp.
Amen.
What?
Amen.
What? The King of Saints?
Amen.
Screams in joy. What of another kingdom?
Hallelujah.
I'll prove to you they were not denominationals.
Amen.
You want me to do that? I think I put in a scripture here for that. Yes, sir? Let me prove to you that Israel was not. Let's turn back to Numbers. Just so you'll see that they wasn't. Now, Moab was a great denomination. We'll go get Numbers 23 and 9. I'll get the 8th verse with it. And how shall I curse, said Balaam, whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? Now listen to what he said. For from the top of the rocks I seen him. That's God.
Amen.
Not from down in the valley, but
Amen.
From the top of the rocks.
Amen.
Oh, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Amen.
From the top of the rocks, I seen him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Not from some back behind some valley, so you see the back part of him. I saw the whole thing, God said. From the top of the rocks, I seen him, and from the hills, I beheld him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
That settle it?
Amen.
They were not a denomination.
Amen.
Nations. Oh, they were wanderers.
Amen.
In tents. Alleys. Down on the street corner. The little mission. Get behind the rent to kick them out. God's wanting them to go somewhere else. Wanders.
Glory.
Right?
Glory. Yeah, amen.
Over in Jamaica not long ago, there was a fine Pentecostal doctor of divinity standing there. And I said, oh, how the Lord blessed the early Pentecostal church. They had nothing. I said, they were just wonders about. He said, Brother Branham. I said, yes, brother. Love him. Fine, brother. And he said, I just want to show you where you're wrong. I said, oh, I'm so glad of that. I always want to know where I'm wrong, because God knows that. I don't want to be wrong. I said, well, if I'm wrong, I sure want to know it, brother. Thank you. He said, you keep praising those Pentecostal peoples. I said, yep. He said, they made the terriblest mistake they ever made when they sold their property. Said, when the persecution rose, they didn't even have a home to go to. They didn't have no place to go, and they wandered about. I said, just exactly the will of God.
Right.
He said, why? I said, if they'd had a home, they'd have went back. But they had to go from here to there, spreading the news everywhere.
Hallelujah.
Don't tell me that God makes a mistake. He never makes a mistake. He knows how to do it. They sold their properties and become vagabonds, spreading the news everywhere. And said the news is spread all over the whole known world, man, for them wanderers who'd give up everything to have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The people did not belong to a denomination. See? Now remember, the denomination is what God is calling injected into the doctrine of Balaam. Well then, when he could not get them into this denomination, you know what Balaam done? Now listen close now. We're coming close to the close. Now, what Balaam done, he done the very same thing they done here at the Nicene Council. That's the reason he said you've got the doctrine of Balaam and those Nicolaitans. Now, Nicolaitans was the people who pulled out and wanted to make organizations and so forth, responding. How many knows that's the truth?
Amen.
I say, organization. That's exactly the God's truth. And they finally organized the greatest organization in the world. And what did they make it? A Catholic. And what does the word Catholic mean? Universal. An organization worldwide.
Amen.
Organize all these little things must come into one church. Now, if you'll notice, you just keep on going. Look, what was Babylon? Who founded Babylon? Nimrod. What did he do? He made one big tower in a big city and made all the other cities pay tribute to this city.
Amen.
Organization.
Amen.
That's the backgrounds of it.
Amen.
Sure, come right over here in the church age and organized again and brought the whole nations into it. And right here said, the whore that made all the nations drink of the wine of her fornications, her adultery she was committing, claiming to be a Christian, and giving out such stuff as that. Catechisms and prayer books and everything else. And the Protestants come right along the same thing, just following right in their tracks. All right, let's go just a little bit farther now. All right. All right, he said now that these was the doctrines of Balaam. Now, what did Balaam do when he found out that he couldn't curse Israel? He told Balak it would be a good idea then for him to invite these people to the festival of the God. They had a great festival up there they were going to have. And the festival was called the Feast of Baal. P-E-O-R, Belpora, I suppose. P-E-O-R, Belpora. It was a feast of worship. And Balaam said, now I'll tell you, Balak, I'll give you a good idea. God won't curse them, that's all there is to it. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We can't get rid of them, but if you just invite them over, you'll swing the whole thing your way. See, exactly what Constantine did. Perfectly. That's really the doctrine of Balaam. What did they do? Balak's teaching come down amongst Israel, and they invited all the Israelites up to this big feast, the big blowout they had. Oh, some big party shindig of a thing up there they had. And when they got up there, while these Israelite people begin to see these pretty sexy dressed Moabite women. Yes. Wasn't like their common girls down there.
Amen.
Oh, they looked so pretty. My, how they were made, and oh, how they could show themselves. And they fell for it and began to commit adultery. And Balaam knowed if God wouldn't curse them, he'd take them over on this denominational side and cause the angry of God to kill them anyhow. Let God kill them himself. if you could ever get them out of the way of the truth. And as soon as you walk out and join a church instead of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're dead.
Amen.
Not for you, but on here. I'm letting that soak a little while. Dead! You have a name said to Luther, you're the Sardis age. The word Sardis means dead. You have a name that you're alive, but you're dead.
Amen.
That's what God said.
Yeah.
See? And when they commit a spiritual fornications up there, the church married from the baptism of the Holy Ghost to a denomination, they become dead.
Amen.
There you are. That's what the Bible said. That's what God said. Speaking to the churches. Now, I'll just read something here to you that I... And God, what did He do? And now when they did this evil thing and they were in adultery, God killed 42,000 of them at one time. 42,000 for committing adultery. And what is it spoke of here in the church? The spiritual adultery. That you profess to be a Christian and still living like the world.
Amen.
Oh,
help us, Lord.
Oh, brother, receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Get away from these old creeds and things. They're dead. Recite the Apostles' Creed or some kind of a creed and say a few prayers, wrote out of a prayer book or something like that. Jesus never did tell His people to say a prayer. He said, pray. Pray. All right. Now, Constantine's feast, just like Balaam. Now watch. Like Balaam's pagan feast, Constantine had a pagan feast. All right? Pergamus was invited. And notice now, this. I've got something wrote down here. I'm going to leave it alone right now. All right. All right, I'm just trying to catch this note here of the something I put. Pergamus was invited. All right, they was invited to a feast after the Nicene Council. They was invited to the feast of winter solstice, which means the sun, worship of the sun, which was a pagan god, which fell on December the 21st, the shortest day in the year. And the years, the same time, doesn't change till December the 25th. All heathens celebrated it, the sun god's birthday. The sun god's birthday was the shortest day in the year, December the 21st, and anyone that ever read the history of the churches know that heathens worshipped on that day. It was a celebration. Well, the Romans had... They had the big games, the Roman circus. How many seen this here, whatever it was here not long ago? They had Ben-Hur, see? Now, the Roman circus, that's what the Romans had on that Sunday in commemoration of the birthday of the sun god, see? And now, and they made a big feast up there and invited the Nicolaitans to come up. Oh, isn't it perfect?
Amen.
The teaching of Balaam you have in you, see? Telling Pergus what they had. The big races. There, they thought that these Nicolaitans thought, well, now that's fine. This big feast is celebrated annually. Yes. So then with the invitation to the so-called archbishop or whatever he was then and everything, they taken to make it a continual thing to bring in fornications, bring in adultery, forming up the Catholic Church, which is every Protestant denomination, a member of it, organization. God has no organization and hates the very name of it.
Amen.
The Bible said so.
Praise the Lord.
And when they did that, what happened? They said now they had to have a spiritual application. So they changed the Lord Jesus, S-O-N, of God's birthday from April, which all good scholars know, and anybody with spiritual revelations, that He was born in nature time like when lambs and everything else is born.
Amen.
In April, way back up to the 25th day of December and still worship Christmas. Now it's Santa Claus and what? Oh, still more pagan festivals added to it. That's us all. There you are. Invited. Balaam. You have the doctrine of Balaam among you. There it is. Oh, God just revealed it, Father. See? The birthday from April until... Now, the historian says that all evidence that Jesus was born in the month of April, when all other life comes forth. But they changed it back to the 25th day of December, 5 days after, see, after the pagan God, so they could put their ceremonies together. Paganism and Christianity and Catholicism is nothing in the world but a bunch of pagan superstitions and Christianity's offscouts put together.
Amen.
That's right. That is true. The Protestants that nuck to it is just exactly the daughter of the mother prostitute. Exactly. Now, God help us to be real protesters against anything that's not godly.
Amen.
Oh, and to make the spiritual application with it, do you know what the bishop said? The bishop said, we have a right to do this because he is the son of righteousness. Hmm. Well, they get a loophole. Like the old Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Matthew 28:19.
Amen.
Same kind. Exactly. Sure, they got a loophole. They have to have some kind of spiritual application, you see. But it don't. The Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established.
Amen.
God said it there. He says it three times. If God take up to barricade something else, he took Peter, James, and John. Everything he done, he had two to three witnesses to prove everything he done all the way through the Scripture. That's right. But you see, those little things has to come there so they can pick it up to be that. God knowed it before the foundation of the world. There they got it. The spiritual application, because he is the S-O-N of God. We'll just take the pagan S-U-N's birthday and make it S-O-N's birthday, and because he is a son of righteousness. You know Protestants still fall for that, something like that? Sure they will. Take it right away into Scripture. It's somewhere else. Oh, let's just stop for a minute. All right. Here's one little thing I'd like to get. Let's get the last of this verse here right quick. Can we do it?
Yep. Amen.
Yeah. Well, I'll hurry real quick now, and we'll hit the highlights of it. All right. Where are we at now? But a few things I have against you. Balaam, that's right, I got that. So has also the doctrine of Nicolaitan. Repent, else I come quickly and fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. My. Here, when Constantine did this, it was when they fixed up this great festival. I started to move away from that. I'm going to wait before I read that because the Holy Spirit keeps moving back. That's the reason I did what I did then. He said, don't you hold that back.
Amen.
So
amen.
Here it comes.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. The reason when they fixed up this big thing, I want to tell you what happened so that you'll understand. That was the birth of post-millenniums. Because the church had gotten rich. It was rich as it could be. And it was what? Powerful. It is over the state. State and church was together. Oh, God, with a kingdom. And didn't Jesus say that every one of these nations was his?
Amen.
Told
Amen.
Jesus so?
Amen.
Showed him the kingdom of the world and said, they're every one mine. I do with them anything I want to.
Amen.
And then unite God and the devil together? Oh, you can't do it!
Amen!
Certainly you can't. That's the reason the state is organized. God's not this organization. Certainly not. You can't do it. But they had it then. They had their church called Christianity. They had it united with the nation. The Holy Emperor of Rome, all of it. The big bishop up there, over all of it, which is for, after a while called a pope. But he was a bishop then. And Boniface III was the one who became the first pope. Then we find out, and here he's set up there as really a pope over a god they had in human form. They had a great altar. They had fine riches. They had great, powerful, marble-laid altars. and decked with gems and so forth all over it. And they had big churches. They controlled the state. And you know what? The word went out at that was the millennium. That all the promises to them poor Jews, that God had forsaken them, which he said he could never do it,
Amen.
And tried to bring in the millennium before the coming of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
When Jesus comes, when the millennium sets
Amen.
In, that's the birthplace of post-millennium, and that's the reason the Catholic doesn't teach the coming of Jesus to this
Amen.
Day.
Amen.
It's all in the church. This is the millennium. The church owns everything. This is it. See? Post-millennium. Oh, my. Without the return of Jesus Christ, this lasted until the assassination of Constantine, which come between 312 and AD 312 and 606. Then Boniface III was made the universal bishop or pope over the whole universal church. I believe we finish this verse and then I'll have it. Praise God. See? And I just help just for a minute. 17th verse. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name, written which no man knoweth save he that receiveth. Would you rather wait till tomorrow night or have it now?
Now.
Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll let the people understand now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that they might understand everywhere the tapes go, that they might know that I say this because it is the divine interpretation thou hast given. Amen. He that overcometh, the first thing I want you to remember, that each one of these messages is addressed not to the church, but to the angel of the church. Look back here. The first one, the church of Ephesus, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Is that right?
Amen.
All right, the next church age, the eighth verse. Unto the angel of the church of Smyrna.
Amen.
All right, and the 12th verse. Unto the angel of the church of Pergamos.
Amen.
Is that right? Amen. The message is addressed to the leader of the church.
Amen.
God help that guy that'll pull away from that message.
Amen.
But it was given to an angel. And the angel was in his hand, under his own control, giving thriving power from him, from his right hand.
Amen.
They're his right hand, that is, they're in supreme power while they're here on the earth because they are the lights from him giving the light to that church age.
Amen. Amen.
See?
Amen.
Unto the angel of the church, addressed to the star of the age, that is responsible. The angel of the church is responsible.
Amen.
If he doesn't preach the word.
Amen.
Right. And that angel will have to answer in the judgment. How many remembers the vision here not long ago about, look here, when I was laying down on the bed and the Holy Spirit come and I look back, my wife there, and there I was laying there and went up into the presence there and I seen all those people. And you remember me telling that? All of you do. See? And I said, well, are they? He said, they are yours. And I said, all them Branhams? He said, no, there was millions of them. He said, that's your converts. And I said, converts to that woman that you was admiring so there, young and beautiful. Said, she was past 90 when you led her to Christ. And I said, oh, I said, then I was afraid of this. And he said, we are waiting here for the coming of the Lord. I said, I want to see him. He said, you can't see him now. But said, soon he will come. We're waiting for him. But when he comes, he will come to you first. And you'll be judged according to the gospel you preached. And we will be your subjects. Well, I said, you mean I'm responsible for all these? All of us. I said, well, will everyone? He said, you were born a leader. And I said, well, will everyone be responsible? He said, every leader. I said, what about St. Paul? said he'll be responsible for his age. Well, I said, I preached the same gospel he did, and millions of voices raised said, we are resting upon that.
Amen.
There you are. Resting. So the angel of God, the messenger to the church, is responsible if he preaches not the word. All right. Hidden manna. Let's give the interpretation the best we can. What does hidden manna type? Hidden manna was a manna that was kept in the place or a showbread in the Bible that was only for the priest. How many knows that? See? Now, it wasn't for, they had a bread for the congregation, but there was a special bread for the priest. Is that right?
Amen.
This is a special bread. A special bread, hidden manna. What is it? Who is our manna? Christ. All right, St. John, the 6th chapter, 48th to the 50th verse, if you're putting it down. Jesus said he was the bread of life that come from God out of heaven, the manna. Well, what is the hidden manna? The manna that isn't given to all of the congregation. The revelation is poured out upon the angel of the church. The revelation of the Word.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Revelation of the Word is given to the angel of that age, for it's hid from everywhere.
Amen.
And revealed back. The hidden manna to it's addressed to the angel of the church.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
You get it?
Yes.
It's a little bigger revelation of what Christ is. Maybe a little higher call. Wonder if Luther recognized that. Wonder if Wesley did in his day. Oh, wonder if Saint Martin recognized it. Irenaeus. Now, you know, the church didn't even canonize those men. They wasn't saints to them. But they was the one who had the signs following.
Amen.
They took their own bishops and so forth for canonizing. Well, here not long ago, a woman went to get the life of St. Martin at an English bookstore. And when she said, St. Martin, and the person took the rack out, said he isn't known very much in history. He wasn't canonized. See? So yet this day, but God has his name.
Amen.
God knows who he is.
Yeah.
See, that's the difference. Somebody wants their name in some big something, but God's people want to shun that kind of stuff. They don't want great big things and great big something. They want to be humble. The humility. The way up is down.
Amen.
He that humbles himself shall be exalted. He that exalts Amen. Himself shall be abased. Humble himself. Don't try to be a big something. Try to be a little something.
Amen.
But be what you are, see? Be little in the sight of God. Be little in your own sight. Everybody else is above you. Let him's the greatest among you be minister to all. Who could be greater than Jesus Christ who girded himself and washed the disciples' feet? A foot washing flunky he become. A God of heaven, a creator of heavens and earth, washing dirty feet for a fisherman. With manure and stuff and dust off the roads where their garments are swept up and washing it off, a foot washing flunky, what he was. And then we think we're somebody. We've got to be doctor, PhD, so-and-so. Oh, my. That ain't Christ.
Amen.
That don't display the lovely Jesus Christ. He becomes servant to all.
Yes.
That's right. Taught us an example that we should do to one another as he's did unto us.
Amen.
Oh, that's my Lord.
Amen.
What makes him big? Because he made himself little.
Yes.
See? That's what made him be. I've had the privilege of meeting some great men in my life. I've had some privilege of meeting men that thought they were great. A real great man tries to make you think you're great and he's nothing. See? Meeting kings and so forth and men who really are a great man. Meet real staunch Christians, patch clothes and things like that, and some of them come to the pulpit like a bandbox and then, see? Oh my, well, so forth. All right. The hidden manna. A little something special. What is the special? Not something, the blessings of the Holy Ghost. Oh, no. That's for the whole congregation. But the hidden manna was a special revelation because he had to teach the others.
Amen.
See? There's a little more knowledge of the Scripture that he could teach others. He's supposed to be. Is that right?
Amen.
You'll never live no higher than your pastor. You just remember that. See? And so, because he's a shepherd that feeds you. If he's a shepherd, he's got to know where the manna is to feed the sheep. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, a little special. And watch this just a minute. The revelation, the hidden manna. Now, white rock. He shall have a white rock, this angel shall have. A white stone. That's a rock, isn't it? And dry it, purity. He met a man one time, and his name was Simon. And he changed his name to Rock. Peter. Why? He had the keys. Is that right?
Amen.
He changed his name and made him a rock. Is that right? Peter had the keys because he was the one who had the keys to the kingdom. A new name. A new name written in this rock that nobody knows but he himself. He knows who he is, but he can't tell others. See?
Amen.
See? No one knows but himself.
Amen.
Peter knows he had the keys, but you didn't hear him bragging about it. These guys who brag about what they are is usually nothing. A white rock, and in it a new name, not his own name, but he's somebody else.
Amen.
See? That only he himself knows. He that's got the rock, the name.
Amen.
See? Special manna to feed the church. Remember. Remember when this taken place to this church. It was the same age, the same time that this was revealed, that the Nicolaitans had set themselves up ahead of their church, a pope, and give him a white rock altar beneath him, a marble altar. Is that right? And then laid it with studs and things like that, which is precious to him. But this angel of the Lord knew who he was, a son of God through the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when the Nicolaitans set up their leader and put a marble stone at his feet, see, God set up his spirit-filled leader for his spirit-filled group, his angel.
Amen.
And it set upon him a seal of a name, but he mustn't reveal it. He must keep it to himself. No man knows but himself. Hidden manna, a stone, a new name that no man knows but he himself, and it was addressed to the angel of the church. I wonder if Luther knew that. I wonder if Wesley's knew it. I wonder if the other great angels, and I wonder today if in coming in the world soon, the great angel of light that'll come to us, that'll lead us out, a great Holy Spirit come in power, and will lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ. You probably won't know it, but he'll be here some of these days. God will make him known. He won't have to make himself known. God will make him known. God will prove his own. That's what he said when Jesus is here and they didn't know him. See? He said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works of my Father, you can't believe me, then believe the works. Is that right? Oh, isn't he wonderful?
Amen.
The book of Revelations. Now, you see where the churches is? See how they're crowded out? See how the church went out here? Now, this is the age we're coming to tomorrow night, the Lord willing. Now, I'm sorry that I kept you so long, but I hope that you learned something. And taking down the notes, that when I have some more here, about three or four more pages, but I just haven't got time to get to it. And because it's getting late, and it's about 17 minutes now until, but we'll put it in the book anyhow, and so we'll have it. Now, how many loves him with all your heart? How many believes him with all your heart?
Oh.
Now, do you think that I would stand here just because that we're not an organization? That we are not an organization and would say those things? Do you understand now, brother, why I all my life I've fought against that thing? See, it was the Holy Spirit. I couldn't understand it myself. I didn't know it until just a few days ago. See, I didn't know what made me do that. I didn't know why I always cried out against women living wrong and things. I didn't know it. I do now. See, now, The Lord knows that these things are wrong. Here they are pulled right up in history. And the Bible said, now look here, the Bible said beforehand that these things would happen. Now we know that, didn't we? Then we take the history of that age and see that it happened just exactly the way the Bible said.
Amen.
Is that right? Well, then when we get down here to our church age and what he predicts for our church age, it'll happen just exactly the way God said it would.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Oh, yes. Don't you want? Oh, I want to see him.
Yes.
Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of. Shake hands with one another, front, back, and round, all the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever it is. As I travel through this land, singing as I go, all pointing souls to Cal, not the church, Cal, to the crimson glow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within. Above my Lord, lead me on to him. I must cling. Let's stay now. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Let him sing forever. Let's raise your hand.
On his saving grace. On the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Give
wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me the Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he, oh, saving me, keeping me from all sin and chain. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. I once was lost, now I'm found, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation, saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God is he. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my. together say praise His name.
Praise His name.
My Redeemer. Remember tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Until then, until you come back again, do this. Take the
name of Jesus with you, child.
For the last song or last stanza, at the
name of Jesus bow we, falling prostrate.
Lord God, heal these, Lord.
King of kings in heaven will crown you.
Appreciate the word of the Lord tonight. Let's sing this together.
Oh, draw me, draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you. Oh, draw me, oh, draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you.
Let's sing it that way again tonight.
Oh, draw me, oh, draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you. Draw me, Lord, I'll come running after you. For you alone are all I need. For you are my destiny. Yes, you alone.
As they play that softly, had a testimony came in. Sister Yancey wanted to thank the church for our prayers regarding her knee surgery on Thursday, and said she's doing better and only has a little bit of pain. She's planning on being back in their church service on Wednesday night, so I want to praise the Lord for that. And then Brother Hoover had went with Brother Steve Ricketts in the ambulance to the hospital and said that his wife and daughter had got there and he didn't even recognize them, but they said he had a similar accident a few years ago and had some of the same symptoms and then woke up the next day and everything was fine. So we want to have prayer for him tonight and just believe that everything will be okay. And also Sister Patty Hansel's sister-in-law, I believe her name is Marcia Ramey, was rushed to the hospital and she has a history of heart issues. So let's just join our hearts together in prayer for these requests tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the testimony that's come in, Father. And Lord, we appreciate how you've been with our sister, Lord, and healing her up from this surgery so quickly. And we give you glory and praise for that. And Lord, now these needs of these that have been rushed to the hospital, Father, I pray that you'd be with Brother Steve Ricketts, Father. And Lord, may all this just be a part of his healing, Father. May there be a testimony that comes forth from it, Father, I pray. And Lord, may you just move on the scene physically, mentally, in every way. Lord, may he be able to recognize his family and may there be no complications. Lord, the enemy's tried to hinder and try to fight our brother, but we believe together and agree together and bind our faith together, Lord, and that by your stripes, our brother is healed. Father, may the Holy Spirit that we feel here tonight, may it go to our brother's bedside just now and touch him and heal him. May a good report come, and Father, we'll give you the glory and the praise for it. Be with Sister Patty's sister-in-law here, Father, that's been rushed to the hospital with complications, Lord, that might be related to heart issues. I pray that you just touch her and heal her. Lord, may you use it, Father, to maybe get someone's attention, or Lord, or to be a testimony, or to be an encouragement, Father. Maybe someone that needs to know of your healing power there in the hospital or whatever it be, Father. But may you go to that bedside as well just now, Father, and move on the scene. Lord, you're the great physician. We commit it to you and claim healing. Be with us as we go our separate ways, Father. Protect us on the roads and all that we'll do this week, Father. Bring us back at the appointed time, I pray, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. It's been good to be in church. Amen. Certainly appreciate the word of the Lord. And we're certainly privileged to have stored up food like this that God has preserved for us in this age, that we can not just have to take somebody's word, while I was here and this is how I remember and what I think was said and did, but we can go back and hear it for ourselves. They didn't have that privilege in exactly that way in any other age. They couldn't go back and listen to, they could read some of Paul's writings and things, but couldn't go back and pick up his audible voice 100 years in after he'd been there, things like that. And so we're certainly privileged in that way. And want to welcome our visitors. I believe we've got a Brother Potter here and some different ones visiting tonight, so I want to make them feel welcome. And let's just sing this together before we go. Number 22 in your hymn book, if you don't know it, I think we all do. Oh, I heard an old story, how my Savior came. On Calvary to save a wretch like me. Oh, I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Oh, then I repented of my sin. Just got word, Brother Steve's memory is back, so praise the Lord. There's still victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. Oh, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. Oh, he plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, we just heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he can make the lame
to walk again, and he calls the blind to see. Oh, and then I cry, dear Jesus, Lord, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, there's still victory. Thank you, Lord. He's my Savior. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. Oh, he plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Then I heard about my mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about those streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, all about the angels singing and that old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there my song of victory. Oh, there's still victory in Jesus. He's my Savior forever. Oh, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved me, yeah. God bless you. Let's sing it again as we go. You can be dismissed. There's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Oh, he sought me.